In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, last week we heard Jesus take up this question. Are we living in the end times? And the answer was, it depends on what you mean by that. If you say yes because look how bad things are getting, and you point to fires and earthquakes and floods and hurricanes, or you point to how things are just getting worse, that morality is out the window, getting worse every day, or that the other political party are doing things that are terrible, we must be living in the end times. Jesus says, none of these things are a sign of the end. And no matter how bad things seem to be getting, it's not as bad as they have been in other times of history. At least in our country, no Christians are being thrown to the lions, and no one is being burned at the stake. But we are, in fact, living in the end. We remembered that the prophets spoke of the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is not just a description when God brings this world to an end. It was that. But it is also a description of the day that God would join us in creation to redeem us from our sins. So that the great and terrible day of the Lord begins at his coming in a manger and concludes with his coming in glory. So today, we are living in the great and terrible day of the Lord. We are, in fact, living in the end times. Hebrews 1 says, long ago and at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So are we living in the end times? Yes, as we have been for almost 2,000 years. But if you remember, that was only part of the question from last week. The other part of the question was, what is the sign that these things are to come? Some of the disciples wanted to know was, can you give us a sign to let us know when these things are about to take place? Now, last week, Jesus didn't tell us what the sign is, but he did say what the sign isn't. He talked about wars and rumors of wars. He talked about earthquakes, and he talked about famines. And all of the events that you would see on the evening news, Jesus names all of these off, and he says, this is not yet the end. And ironically, those are the things that we're used to saying are signs of the end. Events of the world are exactly what we think are indicators of how close we are to the end. And Jesus says, when we're looking to those things, we are in grave danger. Why are we in danger? Because then come the false Christs that capitalize on your fear. So you read in the newspaper, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And then comes a preacher who says, follow me and do this. And that is a preacher who is not pointing you to trust in Christ and his promises, but to get you to trust in yourself. Jesus says they'll even perform signs and wonders, but do not be deceived. Jesus says he has told you all of this beforehand. Beware. Now that was all from last week. And if you remember, I promised you that Jesus does give us a definitive answer to the question, what is the sign that these things will take place? If it's not those events of the evening news, what is it? What is the sign of the end? And the answer is in our gospel reading for today. Jesus says, all these things will happen, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. There's your sign. The sign of the end is that Christ comes in glory. when you see Christ, you will know the end is here. And this isn't something that you have to watch on CNN. No matter where you are in the world, you will know when Christ returns. Now, I wonder if that answer isn't a little bit of a letdown. It's not quite what we're looking for. Because what we're looking for with a sign of the end is some kind of a precursor, something leading up to the actual end. I mean, saying that Jesus' return is the sign of the end is kind of like asking, what is the sign that we are to drive forward? The green light. Well, by the time you see the light, it's already there. But you see, it is our sinful flesh that wants to know what the sign of the end will be. Because your sinful flesh wants to be as unprepared as possible until you absolutely have to be. It's like not wanting to clean your house until someone's coming over. Or perhaps it's like wanting to know when the boss is going to come home so you know when to start looking busy again. This is how our flesh views the end times. But that's not how Jesus teaches us to view the end. Jesus says, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the end will come, so stay awake. Now, Jesus doesn't teach us to look for a sign. He teaches us to be ready, to be on guard, to stay awake. This is how we ought to treat the end. Now, our flesh still wants to mess this up, because when you hear, be on guard, keep awake, you probably think that means to mind your P's and Q's. That if we need to be ready for the boss to come back, then we need to make sure that we're squeaky clean in case he does. But that doesn't quite fit the Bible either. Because if we could just make ourselves squeaky clean, then there would be no need for Jesus and no need for a Savior to do the work for us. So what does it mean that we are to be on guard and to keep awake? It means that we have repentant faith. It means that we would always be ready by believing in Christ's promises. It means that upon inspection of our own performance, we would find in ourselves failures and shortcomings and downright sin and transgression. And that's why we must believe Christ's promises. To stay awake is to continue to believe what he has promised to us. The promise that we are safe from sin, death, and the devil when we abide in him. Though the newspaper headlines would tell us that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, it doesn't jeopardize God's children. Because they have been died for. They have been claimed. In the waters of holy baptism, they've been snatched from the devil's domain. And so you can rest assured knowing that God makes good on his promises. That's how Jesus teaches us to view the end as believers. That the end is not a matter of shaping up in case the boss comes, but it's that we live today as believers. Because whether Christ comes today or 100 years from now, we believe in Jesus all the same. Because we need forgiveness that he offers today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Our need for Christ and what he promises does not change based upon whether the economy is stable or whether we're headed for a depression. Jesus would have us look to him in the face of trouble and disaster. That the end would not cause for us panic or an anxiety of shaping up, but that the end would be for us our salvation. See, that is how the Christian views the end. That Christ coming again in glory is like the Coast Guard coming to save our sinking ship, where it's like the fire department coming to drag us out of a burning building. So when Christ comes, we know that we are finally brought safely from this wickedness, world, and sin to a safe place in heaven with him. There is a quote that's often attributed to Martin Luther. I don't think that he actually said this, but it makes for a good quote, so I'll say it anyway. But the story goes is that Luther is outside planting an apple tree, and someone comes along and asks him, "What would you do if you knew today the world was going into pieces?" And Luther responded, "I'd plant my apple tree." And the point is that this is the way that we live day in and day out. We don't live as ones ruled by this event or that event. We live as ones ruled by what Christ has done for us. Having died for the forgiveness of all of our sins, we live freed from the bondage of worry, what may happen of the end. We live freed from the bondage of our own sin, and we live free to be in service to those who need our help, to serve our neighbor in any and every way possible. Because we know that no sin of ours, many though they be, do not bar us from heaven. That they don't bring about God's wrath upon us. Christ has freed us from our sins by his sacrifice, that we can live today and every day without fear. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." It's a sobering reminder when you look out into this world, you see everything around you is temporary. Even those things that seem like fixtures, like mountains and sun and moon and stars, all these things last but for a time. But there is one thing in our midst that is more reliable than even the stars or the mountains, and that is the Word of God. God promises to you that you are his child, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made whiter than snow. These promises are more solid than the foundations of the earth. For grass will fade away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.